Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good evening. Myself and Captain Turner have come before you tonight on behalf of Chief Hawthorne to get your approval to enter into an agreement with Novoa Global to continue to use them as our red light camera program and the school speed zone program. The school speed zone program has been a topic of discussion among the council since May of 2025 and has been discussed in several other meetings to date. With the upcoming 2026-2027 school year quickly approaching, approving and entering into this agreement could potentially mean that we have the program up and running by the first week of school.
So this is Captain Beth Goff, Gulf Breeze Police Department Captain Beth Goff, speaking to the Gulf Breeze City Council on Monday. Rick Hawthorne was out, so she was giving the presentation on the school speed zone cameras, which they are working diligently to try to get in place by school year this fall.
On January 20th, 2026, the council adopted ordinance number 01-2026 to provide for the use and implementation of school zone safety speed limit detection systems.
It is kind of a mouthful, and I appreciate her getting it just right. And they're going to go with the same company that they use for the red light cameras right now.
The city has been using Novoa Global since 2010 for our red light camera program. We've had very minimal issues, and the team is always quick to respond and ask any technical questions if we do have any. The staff is also fully trained and understand their program and equipment used to complete all the steps involved when reviewing the camera footage and issuing violations.
Yeah, so they get the process. They've been very helpful, easy to work with. So Novoa Global is going to get the contract for the school speed zone cameras when those get installed.
With that being said, currently, with the agreement that we have, all red light camera violations are handled in-house by our PD staff. They review, they send the violations to the officer for approval, they mail the violations and collect the fine. That will stay the same. With the new agreement with Novoa Global, the school speed zone violations will all be handled at the Novoa Global office. They will handle the back office duties there.
Okay, so this is going to be the part that I think a lot of people didn't know. It was new to me, and it seemed to be new to the city council as well. Right now, for example, in Pensacola, if you get a red light running camera violation, Mike Wood is one of the people who reviews those. He's not the only one, but it is a Pensacola Police Department officer, eyes on the video, making sure that it's a violation. And if in their judgment it wasn't really a violation, or, you know, the facts are murky, or, you know, you stopped but 2 feet over the line or something like that, they won't issue a citation. And that last line of human law enforcement officer protection for you against an inappropriate citation is part of what sold the system originally. And it's the same in Gulf Breeze, okay? The same thing in Gulf Breeze. A Gulf Breeze police officer looks at it, or I guess in this case, it's maybe the clerks are looking at it, but somebody is looking at it in order to see that it's a violation. When it comes to the school speed zone cameras, there will not be a cop looking at it. It's going to be done by Novoa Global at their office. And, you know, she's going to come back and explain why in just a second. I'll get there. But, you know, before that, other things to be aware of, because that to me is it sounds like a very significant difference. I don't think it actually is, but I'll wait for the explanation to kind of get there. So she says it's a 5-year agreement. The attorney's already signed off.
This will be a 5-year agreement with extensions after the 5 years if needed. And this agreement has been approved by the city attorney for legal sufficiency as well.
Right. So it's lawful, which is good. How do the violations actually work? We've explained this before, but man, I will tell you, it seems like you can't explain anything often enough. There will still be people who misunderstand. What do you mean? There's going to be red light cameras on the bridge. No, you know, like that's just how people think. It's, I don't know. They just seem to get everything wrong, especially if you look at their comments on social media.
For these speed zone cameras, in order for the violation to be issued, the vehicle must be doing 11 miles per hour over or greater of the posted speed limit when school is in session. So this includes the 30 minutes before with the amber light going and 30 minutes after school. So during those flashing light times, the speed limit is 20 miles per hour. So anybody going 31 miles per hour over would be a violation.
Okay, so when the children are present at the half hour before and to a little bit later on in the morning and from the half hour after prior to that to a little before they let out, that's when, you know, it's 20 miles an hour. If you're going 31, you're going to get the citation. It's not a ticket. It's not a points issue. It's not a driver's license issue. It's a civil citation, but you will be getting one of those. And this is important to know, during the rest of the school day, in between the 20-mile-an-hour periods, if you are going 11 over when it's 35 during the school day, that will also be a school zone citation now.
When the lights are off, but during school days, just the lights are not going when the speed limit is 35 miles per hour, the violator has to be going 46 miles per hour or over for that violation to be generated.
Yeah, so kind of like everybody already knows, if you speed in Gulf Breeze, especially near the school, you're going to get $100 ticket. I mean, $100 citation. Important to know that. Now, we're going to come back and, you know, talk a little bit in just a second about why the shift to Nouveau Global and why I think that's not actually a problem. Although I think a lot of people first hear that, because I did, as, oh, well, wait a minute. Well, okay, just be patient, learn a little. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns right now. It looks like everything is moving smoothly, including the front gate of Pensacola NAS. All exits off I-10, I-110 reported as clear. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the comments by Captain Beth Goff, Gulf Breeze Police Department. Captain, speaking to City Council this week about the civil citations for the school speed zone violations that are coming, and as opposed to the red light camera running citations that are out there right now.
So currently now, per Florida state statute, red light violations are set at $158. The state gets $83 of that, and the city gets $75, which we then utilize to pay the vendor, Nouveau Global, and the supplies for mailing and postage and all of that.
Yeah, they don't wind up keeping an awful lot of that, frankly. It's a very small amount, but okay.
For the school speed zone cameras, the violation is $100, the state gets $20, the city gets $60, $34, which will go to the city, and $26 back to Nouveau Global since they're handling the back-end duties. And the additional funds are dispersed as $12 to the school system, $3 to the CJSTC fund, and then $5 to the school crossing guard program, which that's listed in state statute.
Yeah, that's all based on the ordinance. That's the state statute. That's not something they have any control over. And again, it's, you know, people think it's a big moneymaker. It's really not. But okay, so she gets done with the whole presentation, and she gets asked by, and I think, I can't watch those meetings because they're not on video, but I listen to the audio. I really appreciate the folks at Gulf Breeze supplying me with these. But I think this is Councilwoman Amy Tavai speaking. I'm still trying to learn some of these voices. But anyway, she asks the question that I asked also in my head when I was listening, which is, whoa, why are you shifting the oversight, the actual checking off of them as citations? Why are you shifting that out of Gulf Breeze and into Nouveau Global?
My question is around, what is the reasoning for having Nouveau Global process the school zone violations versus the city handling those?
It's the right question. Because having a human in the loop, of course, is important. But also, you know, well, currently it's reviewed by law enforcement, and that means that somebody who we sort of trust to do law enforcement-y kinds of things. And now you're talking about letting it be with the staff at Nouveau Global. How do you know that they're going to be up to that same level of scrutiny and judgment and just appropriateness, right? Well, here's the answer.
I believe because they expect a much more influx of citations or violations coming in, that it would take a lot more staff duties than we can currently handle. That would potentially be looking at a new position for somebody to fiscally just do that job. Because now our clerks do it, and they handle, in the summer, you know, 300 red light violations. And now, according to the study Nouveau Global did, if they get 200 or 300 violations a day on top of red light, it would just be very extensive. So that was how they're going to do it on the back end to kind of alleviate the PD process.
Okay, by the way, I think she got her numbers a little bit wrong. The Nouveau Global study recommends or expects that they're going to get 200 to 300 a day of violations, at least in the beginning. And, of course, the reason they're doing this is because they expect that number to go down. But at least in the beginning, it's going to be several hundred per day of people violating the school speed zone. Where she misspoke is she made it sound like they do 300 red light violations a day, and that is not accurate. It's more in the 25 a day. I just think she was talking and in public and got the one number mixed up with the other numbers. It's somewhere in the vicinity of like I was actually looking at the numbers yesterday from the study, but it divides out to be somewhere in the 20 to 30 a day. So however much staff is required to handle 20 to 30 a day right now, and you're now going to dump 200 to 300, 10 times as much work on them to, you know, manually verify that these are the tickets, it's understandable that, gosh, that's going to take a cop. Cops are expensive. Cops are a limited resource. Well, is there a way we can do it some other? And they're going to have Nouveau Global do it. I actually support this decision. It makes sense. The other reason that this doesn't bother me, even though, you know, kind of at first it did, and you can feel free to disagree with me, 437-1620 if you want to, but the reason it doesn't bother me is because when you're doing a red light camera, you want a human making a judgment about whether it really is a violation or not. There are certainly times where the video would show, well, there was a reason, or it wasn't a violation, or, you know, whatever. I want a human deciding. It's not very often, but I want a human to be able to say, no, that's not actually a violation. What circumstances would there be when you would excuse going 40 miles an hour through a school speed zone? I mean, there's no judgment. They either did or did not violate the speed in the school zone at the time. That's all there is to it. There, and, you know, I suppose the one thing they might be there to look at is, you know, was it on a Saturday? Well, they're not active on a Saturday. Was it at 6 a.m. instead of at 8 a.m.? Well, you know, again, they're not going to. Was it a holiday? Okay, well, that's why you have a human maybe, but it doesn't seem to necessitate a cop, given that cops are a fairly scarce resource and a very expensive resource. So this doesn't bother me because I don't think the same level of judgment is necessary for a school speed zone violation that you would have for a red light running violation. So I was satisfied with the answer. It made sense to me. Will there be a waiting period or like a warning period during which you won't actually get a ticket? Well, you just kind of get a mail out that, hey, you did something bad. If you do it again, it's going to be $100.
I don't know when the trial period would be, but I think we're still going to do one just to see how the program is going. If the speed, you know, what violations are going in, and then they would get like a warning, and then yes, then it would implement and they would have a date.
Yeah. So they haven't fixed the detail yet. Also in part because the actual implementation of this is a little bit on hold because FDOT has to approve it. That's something that Sam Abel is going to talk about here in a second. And then City Council Member Tim Burr is going to, all I can tell you is he is going to make a comment that, let's play it for you.
The reason why we're delayed is because we have to secure the permit through DOT.
Okay.
And we're in line to get that permit. Okay. That's a new process with this law, but to the mayor's point, something I might recommend is that with the council's approval this evening, we can make it effective October 1 at the start of your fiscal year, and so then you'd have August and September as that grace period.
So there will be a time at the very beginning of the school year where they're not active yet, or at least maybe that'll be the grace period, so they'll be on, but they won't be issuing actual citations. They're still waiting on FDOT. As she said, they're in line for all of that. Plus, the reason the fiscal year is interesting is because it has to do with the reporting of citations and the tracking of them to see how effective they are. If it lines up with the fiscal year, that kind of makes better bookkeeping. Anyway, here come Tim Burr's comments.
That's something the council would like to do.
I think that's why I also would wonder whether we couldn't and shouldn't do a grace period that is for our citizens versus the guy from Nebraska who's flying through.
I know it's hard to understand him, but what he's asking is, well, maybe we could do a grace period just for the residents, and then out-of-towners like from Kentucky and Alabama, we'll just go ahead and give them a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for, you know, like equal protection under the law. Except for because you just cannot do that, which immediately the lawyer is like, no, you can't do that. And Sam Abel, same thing.
Russell is vehemently shaking his head behind you.
You need to treat everyone
the same. No, yeah, you have to treat everybody the same. Yeah, there is a case where we have talked before about the possibility of locals versus out-of-towners, for example, on tolls. You know, but when it comes to tickets, no, everybody has to get the same treatment. And it's not a ticket with points on your license. So if you have questions, 437-1620, we're still several months away from that being implemented. But I wanted you to have an understanding of both what it's going to be, how it's going to work during the school day, and, of course, that the review will not be by Gulf Breeze Police Department officers, but by Nouveau Global themselves. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And we're not showing any slowdowns right now. It looks like everything is running smoothly. Taking a look through Gulf Breeze, 98 is accident-free, and it looks like everything is running smoothly right now. Garcon Bridge, not showing any issues. Fremont Bridge, also clear. If you see something, let us know. 437-1620. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Mm-hmm. Oh, somebody texts in. Maybe we should have speed zone cameras on through Mel Bridge. I didn't say it. I mean, I said it as it's not happening.
There aren't any yet?
Oh, on the 3 mile bridge?
Yeah.
You're joking, right? There's no, there's cops,
yeah,
but there's no fixed position cameras that will tell you're speeding and issue you a citation. Thank God. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
If you need any kind of hardware, any kind of supplies, you're building something, you're repairing something, you're adding onto your home, you're doing a renovation yourself, or if you do things for a living and you have not gone to Pensacola Hardware to find out how they can work with your business, go. Just go. I mean, they do all of it. And not just that they have the stuff, because they do. They have all the stuff. But they have the advice, too. I mean, they've been doing this for 175 years, that institutional knowledge. You know, they're the place where, you know, used to be, like back in the day, you'd go to the store to ask the expert at the store what to do. And then over time, you know, you started to realize that maybe you know more than they know, and that's not great, and so why ask? Well, when you go to Pensacola Hardware, they'll know. And this is not an insult. They'll know more than you do because they've been doing this a long time. And they will help you make sure that you do it right and get the result you want and guide you if maybe you're about to make a mistake or to make sure you're doing it safely because some of the things they sell can be dangerous. And they want to make sure that you get the end result and safely too. But if you're a commercial builder, okay, they are the commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is here. They do special orders all the time for people that need things, particularly for some project, whatever. Again, since 1851, they have been doing this right downtown, helping people at 20 East Gregory, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola, the oldest business in Florida.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God answers our prayers one of three ways: yes, wait, or no. When God says yes, we rejoice. When God says wait, we learn patience. When God says no, we are reminded that He is God, because if God couldn't say no, then He wouldn't be God, we would be. As our loving Father, He says no to His children, and we submit to His will. As our King, He says no, and we bow our knee. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh, and essentially, God says no. But God told Paul, "I will give you grace to handle your trial." Sometimes God says no to our request, but then He says yes to sufficient grace to help in the time of need.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
If you've ever wondered what it feels like to fly inches from another jet, traveling hundreds of miles an hour, now's your chance. Hi, I'm Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. Climb into a full-scale F-18 Super Hornet cockpit and experience the sensation of flying in tight formation with the Blue Angels over Pensacola. The only experience of its kind in the world at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Visit NavalAviationMuseum.org and report for duty. No flight suit required, just a sense for adventure.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Mr. Whipple, please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Hey,
Good morning, 7:30 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump back in Washington after his two-day NATO summit in Turkey. Did I get that right?
Real close. Turkey.
He pushed for increased defense spending from member nations while he was there, also for a deal with Ukraine to aid in their war with Russia.
Turkey is just a little bit east, northeast of Nicaragua.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. It's day two of the new strikes in Iran by the U.S. military.
Targeting military infrastructure in southern Iran, also coastal Iran. These strikes have been described as more aggressive than the initial wave that we saw earlier this week, sparked by attacks on commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz.
That's Fox's Alexandria Ha for the White House. The music world in mourning. Now, Bonnie Tyler topped the charts with that epic, plus other hits. Tyler dies at the age of 75. The gravelly voiced Welsh pop star had been in a Portugal hospital since May 26, emergency surgery, and placed in a medically induced coma. She was 75. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Another hot day in store. We've got 83 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. Heat index already rapidly rising towards that triple-digit mark. We'll keep an eye on the weather, and we've got our forecast from Brooke Richardson up in just a minute. Well, a second Pritchard police officer is facing charges in an ongoing misconduct investigation there. The Mobile County Sheriff's Office says Jihad Hansen Irby was arrested Wednesday this week, charged with extortion, bribery, and using his office for personal gain. Officer Emmanuel Narman Dotch, the second, also faces those same charges. He was also indicted federally last month on separate counts, including bribery and depriving people of their rights. Investigators say more arrests could follow. The Escambia County Planning Board has approved a big change in the 540-acre OLF 8 property in Beulah. Developers now want to shift the site to mixed-use urban, opening the door for more housing options. Board members voted 4-1 in favor of that change, despite some pushback from Beulah residents. That proposal now heads to the Escambia County Board of Commissioners for final approval. Well, Pensacola police have made two arrests now in the deadly 4th of July shooting over the holiday weekend downtown. Investigators believe at least three people fired guns that night. 26-year-old Nicholas Safford of Mobile, Alabama, is charged with aggravated assault and illegal gun possession. 25-year-old Lillian Myers of Escambia County is charged with tampering with evidence and accused of taking a gun from the scene afterward. Chief Winstrom says the investigation into who else was involved is ongoing.
At least three firearms were used on scene that we know now that there were at least three shooters in this incident.
Nobody's been charged with homicide yet. Anybody with information in the incident is asked to contact Crime Stoppers at 850-433-STOP or to contact the Pensacola Police Department. Well, Pensacola is now moving ahead with a new bathroom facility at Veterans Memorial Park. After years of back and forth on that project, Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city settled on a prefab building rather than a custom design.
We're moving ahead full steam. Again, you know, we learned through the media that they're just ready to have a building, which was the best news we could hear because we've been saying the same thing for a year and a half or 2 years. So that's what we're doing. We've got a prefab building going in. And we're working our way there.
Reeves says funding details for that should be made public within the next few weeks once the city finishes its budgeting process. Well, a 16-year-old Alabama teenager is now recovering after contracting a rare and potentially deadly bacteria while tubing on Coldwater Creek near Milton last week. DeMonte Capps was stabbed apparently by a stick between his toes during the tubing trip and washed the wound in creek water before continuing. Now, 3 days later, his foot was severely swollen. Doctors say he almost had to have it amputated. The infection turned out to be Edwardsiella, a rare waterborne bacteria that the treating physicians had never actually seen before. Capps is expected to make a full recovery, but he'll have an open wound for about 3 to 4 more weeks. Doctors say anybody with a fresh cut should stay out of any fresh, brackish, or salt water until it heals. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Hey, it's starting to back up a little bit again near the Andrews Institute and Gulf Breeze just before the turnoff for the Bob Sykes Bridge. It does this every time this day, and I talked to the other traffic person in the other studio and says this just happens at that light by Chick-fil-A. So it is backing up past the Boy Scout Trail, it looks like. So use caution, 437-1620. See that accident or slowdown, you can let us know. I'm Candy with traffic on the fives.
We will be seeing about a 30% chance of a stray pop-up shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny skies with a 30% chance of rain, high near 91. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 82. Heading into Saturday, 30% chance of rain with a high near 92 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 81. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 83 degrees right now across the area with partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Billy Anderson here with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The team at Anderson Subaru is proud to join the celebration of 250 years of American freedom. Now through July 31st, you'll get a free American flag when you buy any new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Right now, you get 0.9% financing for 75 months or $1,500 off TSRP on 2026 Ascent models. Plus, you can get 3.9% financing for 48 months or $1,500 off TSRP on any new Forester hybrid in stock. And we have 1.9% financing for 75 months or $1,500 off TSRP on any new Outback in stock. Take home a Subaru, grab a flag, and celebrate America's historic milestone. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Never go near power lines.
Never.
Whether you're trimming trees or picking fruit, stay at least 10 feet away from power lines. You could be seriously injured or killed if you or any object you're holding or standing on, such as tools and ladders, touches a power line.
Stay safe.
Hire a qualified line clearing professional to trim near power lines. Stay safe by keeping yourself and your tools at least 10 feet away from any power lines.
Stay safe.
Learn more at fpl.com/trees.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Planning your vacation?
Chris, what do you want to go on a vacation?
Why not take Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin with you?
We're going to go to the beach.
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
That's good.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That's really good.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3 no matter where in the world you are.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us by phone, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, before we get into the big news, obviously dealing with the shooting and other things, I want to follow up on something that you and I talked about, gosh, now 3 weeks ago, I think. We were talking about how if you leave your car running and get out of it, that is actually, is it a crime or a moving violation?
It's a violation.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But this raised a question, which John had asked me at the time off the air, and I checked with you, but I wanted to get you to answer it, is what about remote start? If it is wrong, it's a violation for you to have your car running when you're not in it, failure to maintain control of the vehicle. This all came up in connection with Mike Kohler's incident, if I remember correctly. But okay, so what about remote starts for your vehicle? That's legal, right?
Yes, that's legal. And the reason for that, those cars, newer vehicles are built differently. If you start it remotely to warm it up or to cool it off before you get in there, if someone was to pop the window out and get it and try to steal it, it's not possible. The car won't function. It will die automatically when you try to put it in drive. There's different ways of preventing that theft, whereas vehicles that don't have that equipment, if you leave it running, the car can simply be stolen.
And perfect. That's exactly. But if you remote start it, get in, and then get back out, now you're in violation.
Well, if the key fob is not in there, it's still not going to function.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's one of the key determinants is whether whether it's fob dependent or not?
Yeah, then the officers looked at each of these cases individually.
Okay.
and determined whether it's a violation or not.
And by the way, I think I was wrong about that. Sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Unfortunately, we find out that it was a violation when it's too late because the car was stolen. So automatically we know that it didn't have the anti-theft equipment on it. That's usually when we find out about it. Occasionally an officer will walk up maybe to a convenience store and remind the driver, hey, you don't need to leave that running. It's a dangerous situation. And that's usually all it takes. It's usually not something that we will always cite people for.
Yeah, one of the things you and I talk about all the time, and Chip and Bob too, the sheriffs, is that, you know, there are laws people don't realize they're breaking, and the goal of the PD is not to issue citations. The goal is to get good behavior, and a lot of times ignorance is the reason people do things. I think I was wrong. I don't think that was about Mike Kohler. I think it was something else, but that's okay. I just wanted to make sure we got that answered. Before we get to the news of the incident over the weekend, I do want to talk about Lafayette, Louisiana man Brenton Tillman is facing a murder charge for a shooting that took place while I was on vacation at the Budget Inn in West Cervantes.
Yeah, from what we understand, they knew each other. They were here working. I don't know working where, but they were staying in the motel. An argument began on the parking lot, and one of them pulled a gun and shot the other one.
Okay. Man, just bad things do happen. All right, so the one that everybody, of course, is very concerned about is what took place near Palafox at Intendencia, 2 a.m. on Sunday, July the 5th. Just a couple of things that we want to clarify. Of course, Chief Winstrom did a great job yesterday in the press conference. So far, we still only are saying or know that there are three guns and therefore three gun users involved, three gunmen involved.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at, and we're gathering body cam footage, surveillance footage from downtown, and we're asking for the public, if you had a phone and you were using it to record before, during, or after that event, we're asking for that footage as well. And what we're hoping to do is when we piece all this together, we have possibly a nonstop video of the entire event, and it takes hours and hours to do that. But that's what we're looking at right now. We want to assure the public, and both the mayor and the chief of police have talked to the mother of this 19-year-old victim and assured her that justice will be had. And we're going to keep on plugging away at this case until that happens. Now, we look at these comments on Facebook, and there's a lot of people on there that are saying, so there's not going to be an arrest for murder now, and that we went easy on them, and that's simply not true. The investigation is still ongoing, and homicide charges can and will be brought as soon as we're able to have a solid case. But unfortunately, these things take time to put together. But what we want to do is take our time and do it the correct way and make sure the charge sticks in court.
Well, and I thought Chief was very clear about this yesterday. He even used the word murder at one point, which is why I would expect that's going to be the charge eventually. But just because a charge hasn't been given yet does not mean that it won't be given, and I don't know why people misunderstand that. It seems very straightforward to me. He was also very clear that you have a lot of evidence that you're processing, including static cameras, body cameras, people who are volunteering cell phone information, which, again, you still want more if people know something and haven't revealed it yet. Crime Stoppers is available. They can call the police department. They can come in. You want help because it's very important, right?
Yeah, we could put together an hour video of this nonstop, and there's that 1 3-second piece that's missing that's key. And that 3-second piece of video may be on somebody's cell phone, and that's why we're asking for any and all footage to be brought to us. If they would be so kind to do so, we would appreciate that.
Absolutely. I have some questions about, and I understand that a lot of this you may not be able to answer, and of course, you wouldn't tell me if you shouldn't tell me, and you don't need my permission, but I'm explicitly granting it to say I can't say yet, okay? Because I get that, and I agree. Your job is law enforcement and protect the investigation. It seemed like, based on what the chief had said, that this was, pre-existing relationship, rival gang adjacent or gang members, a targeted attack, which means they were trying to kill somebody in particular. Do we know yet whether, or are you capable of saying yet, whether this was reciprocal gunfire? Like, was this a gun battle between people on both sides, or was this all in one direction?
We don't know yet, but what I can say is this beef is between groups has been going on for a couple of years now. So this is not the first time. As far as a payback type situation, I don't know.
Okay.
And that hopefully will come out in the investigation.
Okay. Do we know yet, or can you say yet, whether the young person, the 19-year-old who was killed, whether in any sense, you know, he was involved in any of this, whether he was even the intended target or was it somebody else? Do you know? Can you say?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
That's, again, the six the folks that we're talking about, we do know they knew each other, but in what capacity, that's still all under investigation.
Gotcha. The chief had mentioned that they were maybe earlier in the night or even 20 minutes prior might not have been wearing masks. I got the impression that he was implying that maybe the people who were shooting were wearing something to conceal their identity at the time this happened. Is that correct?
Well, that's a possibility. So what he was talking about is how important this phone footage is. If we see one camera with the person putting a mask on or with a mask on, we're hoping that we can get some footage prior to that with that individual wearing the same clothes, the same height, the same weight without the mask on. That's why we're asking for this cell phone footage.
Okay. And then the charge against the woman was because the primary person that you arrested was the first person to raise a gun, first person to shoot, and then gave her the gun allegedly, presumably as an effort to conceal the evidence or not be able to be caught with the gun on his person. Is that what you believe happened?
Yes, that's what we believe happened. That's tampering with evidence. Unfortunately, we have that weapon back.
I have one or two more questions. Just want to pause for a second. We're talking to Mike Wood. He's a public information officer for PPD. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right, backed up. This is westbound on Highway 98, starting again near Andrews Institute in Gulf Breeze. It's a long light. This is just before the turnoff to Bob Sykes, and it is backed up past the Boy Scout Trail, the National Seashore Trail as well. If you see an accident, certainly let us know at 437-1620. You can text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. I thought this was a good question. I just want to make sure that we get the answer. Number one, is ShotSpotter is no longer active in our area, right? We don't have ShotSpotter right now?
No, we do still have it.
Oh, you do? But is it not downtown or is it downtown?
It's certain parts of downtown. It doesn't cover all of it.
Okay, so is this part of downtown covered by the ShotSpotter net?
I would have to look at the map and see. I know it's very close if it's not covered, but that wouldn't have mattered much that night with the fireworks and all that going on. It would have been overwhelmed. But fortunately, the officers, there were, again, we've said this a bunch, that there were 50 officers on top of what we had down there last year. In fact, the staff command, not only the chief of police, but his staff was down there, and the chief and deputy chief Coverdale got into a foot chase and apprehended a young man that was firing mortars at people, and he ended up having a gun in his waistband. So when we say all hands on deck that night, that's exactly what we meant.
And that's exactly the question that I was wanting to ask is, you know, would ShotSpotter have mattered? And it sounds like the answer is no, not under these circumstances, for all the reasons you mentioned. Plus, now in my head, I really want to watch the video, although I don't want body cam of it. I want the side video watching Deputy Chief Matt, you know, former SWAT team leader, tackle a dude. That sounds like entertaining video. So I'll take one. I can get it. Other things I want to talk about with you, the curfew is, I know that's really not like your pay grade kind of thing. That's really a combination of the city council and the mayor. And of course, the chief has had an opinion about this. But, you know, is it the police department's opinion that having an enforceable curfew for minors would solve not just this necessarily, because we've talked about how that's not exactly what happened here, but just in general, give you guys an additional tool that would be helpful?
I don't know that it would in this particular situation, but it couldn't hurt. It's one of those situations where something like that certainly can't hurt, and you have to look at how it's going in other cities. Did it help or did it hurt or did it do nothing? And that's something that we have to look at.
Yeah, have you? I mean, my perception is that it seems like it would help, but it might be the kind of thing that you do because you think it does something and then doesn't really. Do you guys does it work in other cities?
Well, we're looking at that, and unfortunately, a lot of times when a crime happens and you catch the perpetrator and they're underage, you know, it's already happened. The crime's already happened,
sure.
And And it's too late. So that's something that we'll certainly look at. And again, that's something that's up to the city council, the mayor, and the chief of police will also have a part of the discussion, and we'll see how that works out. But, we can go, what can we do? Everybody's going to talk about what are we going to do next year. If we go in there with wands and have to check everybody for weapons, and we have the SWAT vehicle down there, the Bearcat, yeah, and all that, then we'll get accused of over policing. So it's danged if you do, danged if you don't. But suffice it to say that we will have a plan in place in addition to what we had this year to keep everybody safe.
Absolutely. Switching gears just a little bit, I don't know if you heard me talking about it about a half hour ago, but Gulf Breeze, like most Santa Rosa County, is actually working on putting in school speed zone cameras. The one reason I wanted to ask you about this is because with Pensacola Police, and I know you're one of the people that actually goes through the red light cameras and verifies them, the policy that they have approved is to let Navoa Global, who is the service for their red light cameras, that not a law enforcement officer will be reviewing the speed violations, which I think makes sense because you don't need to have the same kind of law enforcement judgment involved. Plus just, the resources necessary to do it. They're talking about it might be 10 times as many school speed zone violations as you have red light violations. But I wanted to hear your thoughts because you've been working with this program in Pensacola for so long. What do you think of that outsourcing to the company of that?
As one of the people that looks at these, I think it's a good idea to free up the officers from doing that, because it is a extremely intensive manpower situation, looking at each and every one of these violations. But on the other hand, a person is a person. A police officer is a human before he's a police officer. And people that are not sworn officers can be trained to detect or trained to determine whether a violation actually happened or did not. So saying that the folks at the company are not able to do this as good as a police officer is just simply not true. They can be trained to do that.
Is it in statute? Does it require a police officer to verify the red light cameras, or could that legally be outsourced also?
I don't think that there's a law that a sworn officer has to look at. And I could be wrong on that, but I don't think that it is. I believe that at some point you could employ civilian staff to do that, but that's just not something that we're looking at the Pensacola Police Department.
How much resource does it take PPD right now? Do you know? Is there a quantification?
It's a lot. In fact, we're looking at different ways to get these numbers down as far as the citations or the violations stacking up, and we're exploring also having officers look at this in an off-duty capacity and get compensated for it. And that's something that we're looking at right now to try to help get these numbers down, get the backlog down.
Wow. So the HR stress on your department is actually so high that for visual processing of the red light camera violations, that you guys are looking at, taking regular cops and using them off duty like they would use to patrol a, Seville or Walmart or a bank or whatever, because we need their man hours on the street on patrol so much, and it's starting to cause stress there. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, that's what's happening. So we're trying to keep the backlog down. We don't want them stacking up. And there's a lot more violations than we wish there were. And hopefully, once we get known as these cameras are in place, hopefully those violations are going to start going down.
One of the things, and I've talked about this with both sheriffs, but I haven't had a chance to talk about it with you, is the Florida State Supreme Court issued a ruling last Friday in which they said that knock and announce service of warrants is a mandate because the law says you have to do it. And if you don't do it right, the way it had been handled is that the evidence secured from, what kind of the philosophy is, the fruit of the poisonous tree, is the warrant wasn't served right. We're just going to exclude that evidence at trial. State Supreme Court decided that is, A, not in the law. You're not allowed to exclude the evidence, and it won't do that anymore. And, B, it's not working to deter the bad behavior. And so they're going to go to what the law actually says, which is it's an enforceable misdemeanor against the cop who doesn't allow enough time for people to come to the door. Is this in any way going to affect you guys? Is there anything that you have to do differently because of this? Is there a concern that would change police behavior, that you'd be worried under these circumstances because of that potential criminal charge?
No, because we're not doing that in the first place. It's very clear who we are and why we're there. There are marked police cars out front. There's loud banging on the door, yelling police, search warrant. So if that was something that we employed in the past, the no knock or very light knock situation, then that would affect us, but it simply doesn't.
Okay. Very, which I figured would be the answer, but it's my job kind of to make sure and ask. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
I got an email to where it was an elderly lady. It was this person's grandmother, and he was asking if is it legal to have a mechanic turn off the airbag on the passenger side of the vehicle. And according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, it is illegal for mechanics, dealerships, or repair shops to disable a functioning airbag unless they have permission. So there are permissions granted for very specific circumstances, such as medical condition that puts the occupant at a higher risk from deployment than from the crash. So it is possible, but there's some paperwork involved at the state level.
Okay, so if that's something that applies to you, it is lawful as long as you go through the proper process. And, I mean, as we all know, those of us who have passenger airbag cars, the car is already built with a, I would say, clumsy mechanism of weight that it'll disable the airbag if it detects weight below an adult size, because children can be more hurt by an airbag than they're helped by it. That's why you don't let kids ride in the front seat. But good note. Interesting note. Okay, I would have never thought about that. But, yeah, some people with health conditions or health apparatus or whatever, an airbag can be more damaging to them than, you know, the it would be safety for them. So excellent point.
Yeah.
Mike, go ahead.
If I can, welcome back, Candy. You guys are like cookies and milk. It's great.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I love you, man.
You guys are killing it. We love to listen to you. And that laugh is just off the charts.
It is the best laugh in radio or not in radio, either way.
Hey, when you come in, we can do Sugar Hill Gang. Man.
Absolutely.
Mike. Wonder Mike.
Syndication after that.
Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, and really a great friend. Appreciate all the time, Mike, and answering all the questions. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right, and we are watching a couple of things. There's a stoplight now malfunctioning at Highway 90 in Spear Street. This is in Pace. Westbound 90 is flashing yellow. That means they have the right of way and still backed up. And it happens every time at this time of day. And I guess, I checked with the other traffic person. It's just a long few lights. Starting near Andrews Institute and Gulf Breeze, westbound Highway 98 is backed up again. This is past the National Seashore Trail at this point. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can certainly let us know and text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an excellent selection of good quality used cars. 300 on the lot. They sell about half a month. So, you know, if they don't have it today, they might have it in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Or you can just tell them, hey, this is what I'm looking for. And that's honestly, here's what I recommend. I know you're reluctant, okay, because you don't know, and that's okay. I understand. You've had experiences at used or even new car dealerships, and the sense of dread and anxiety about going and dealing with those folks. I get it. Go to Frontier, meet some of the folks, or just meet one, whatever, and say, hey, test some cars. Find what you're really looking for and then say, you know, I see that you don't have it in this color, or I see that you don't have it in this trim level, or, you know, look, I want a little bit better deal. Can you find me one that's a year older or one that's got, you know, 20 or 30,000 more miles on it? That's what I'm looking for. And they go looking for people all the time. Think of them as your, like, consignment buyer, okay, that they will go looking for a car for you, and when they find it or find one close, they'll just text you and ask you, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, okay, that looks good. If you're not committed, it just means that, you know, then you can check it out for yourself. It's a great service, and that's just, like, one example of how Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all, no duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Move on over. Cow Appreciation Day is coming to Chick-fil-A Tuesday, July 14th. From 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., dress in cow-themed attire and enjoy one free entree. Their treat.
No purchase necessary. And the offer is valid at Pensacola area Chick-fil-A restaurants while supplies last. One free entree per person. Offer cannot be combined with other offers or Chick-fil-A One rewards.
So grab your cow spots, ears, or tail, and celebrate Cow Appreciation Day at Chick-fil-A Tuesday, July 14th. Dress like a cow and eat more chicken.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Like beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and less.
Oh, great song from Alice in Chains. We won't have time to get into it, but an excellent one. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a quick headline or two for us. David?
Well, President Trump is pushing for the Supreme Court to rehear a case challenging birthright citizenship. He posted on Trump Social the other day, calling the decision from the Supreme Court a miscarriage of justice.
I lost. Try it again.